terrorism, carjackings, gang violence, school shootings, sexual assault, looting, stealing, domestic violence, robbery, spousal abuse, child abuse, abusing the elderly, mental and emotional abuse. Friends, this morning I want to talk about why the world around us is so violent. Why do people hurt others and themselves? We've heard recently, just in the past week, of more school shootings. It seems like those are reported on a regular basis. Why is it that violence is so common today? We're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you tune in each week. Thank you for supporting by listening and by telling your friends and neighbors about the program. We're thankful to the radio station that allows us to be on each week. We're thankful for those who pay for the programming, the sponsorship, and the support that they give. It allows us to bring God's Word and let the Bible speak each week, and we're certainly grateful for that, and we're glad that you're listening and following along in your Bible. If you do not have a Bible, if you will contact me, I will be glad to get you a Bible for free. Just contact the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. You can call us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Contact me. I would be glad to come by and give you a Bible. We want to let the Bible speak each week. And this morning we want to talk about a land and a world that is filled with violence. We need this lesson because violence is so common around us. We see it on a regular basis. Our children are growing up in a world that is more and more violent, it seems. And we need to be ready to have an accurate and meaningful conversation with others about this topic. We also need to guard ourselves. We don't want to wake up one day and realize that someone close to us was engaged in some violent act. Sometimes someone will do something and we say, "I didn't know they had it in them. I didn't know they were feeling that way. I didn't know they were having a problem." A parent might say that of a child, or a spouse might say that. And it's closer to home than we think, and so we need this lesson for ourselves as well. I want to begin this morning by talking about why people are violent. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a sociologist. I don't practice psychiatric mental health care. But I know God's Word, and God tells us in His Word why individuals are violent, and I will be appealing to that this morning. Let's turn to the very first act of violence recorded in Scripture, where Cain kills his brother Abel. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll begin to see five reasons that I want to talk about this morning why people are violent. There may be other reasons. There may be other situations that come up, other backgrounds, other causes, but I want to talk about five this morning. First of all, people are violent because they do not keep their emotions in control. A lot of times violence is traced to someone who is acting out of control. You remember in the case where Cain kills his brother Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, "And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." He murdered him. If you back up to verse 2, you find that these two brothers were told by God to bring an offering of worship. Abel brought his offering by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. He was a keeper of the sheep, and he brought of that animal. Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel, verse 4, brought of the firstlings of his flock. And Jehovah had respect for Abel. He accepted Abel's offering because it was by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. But he rejected Cain's offering. And look at verse 5. Cain was angry or wroth. So here we begin to see anger, which is an emotion, of course. And his countenance fell. That's an interesting thought. He did not control himself, and he fell into an attitude of anger, and he's going to act upon that when he could have controlled all of that. Individuals let anger and hatred and jealousy and envy and pride get out of control. And so, in verse 6, the Lord asks Cain, "Why are you angry?" Not because he didn't know. God knows all things. He's trying to bring Cain to a point where he will control himself. "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire, but do you rule over it?" You can stop anything that can come in the future, in the immediate future. You can keep this from getting out of control. You can rule over your emotions. But he chose not to, and then in the next verse, he kills his brother. A lot of times people are violent because they're not controlling their temper. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Temperance and self-control are Christian qualities and character that we must have in our life. But people let that get out of control. It might lead to murder in the case of Cain. It might lead to hitting someone, shooting someone, robbing someone, looting, pillaging, burning. Sometimes you'll see these riots on TV, and we've seen that in the past few years where someone has not acted right with regard to law enforcement, and someone may justly have been abused in some way or misused by a particular law enforcement individual. But then everybody else rallies around and says, "We're mad and we're upset." And they go out and start throwing rocks through windows and stealing merchandise and catching things on fire. And when they're interviewed, they say, "Well, we're mad, we're upset." Well, you might be, but you're supposed to control it. And so sometimes people are violent because their emotions are not kept in control. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 6 in the days of Noah, when God destroyed the sinful and wicked and ungodly world of Noah's day. He saved Noah and his family because by faith they obeyed God and built the ark and got on the ark. God always has a plan of salvation. And he offers that plan by grace, and then he wants us by faith to be obedient to that plan, whatever it is. In Noah's day, it was an ark. In our day, it's the blood of Jesus Christ and contacting that blood in baptism. But in Noah's day, we find in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the ground," we find that God, the people are wicked and God is going to punish them. Verse 5, "And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. And then verse 12, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The earth is filled with violence. What is it traced to? Verse 5, the thought, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Number 2, people are violent because their heart and their thoughts are corrupt and evil. They are not thinking based upon the standard of God's word. There are many passages that trace violence to the heart. Psalm 58, verse 2. Proverbs 24, verse 2. Mark 7, 21 and 22. We'll read the Mark passage together. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, 21 and 22. How is your heart? How is my heart? If we're not guarding our heart, if we're not guiding our heart by God's word, then what we think and what we feel inside can lead to all kinds of terrible things. Jesus said in Mark 7 and verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, coveting, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Jesus is talking to Pharisees who were concerned about washing their hands, the outward cleaning of the body. And Jesus said, you need to be more concerned about the inward cleaning of the heart. So things that we attribute to violence, such as murder and other things, Jesus attributes to coming from an evil thoughts that are from within the heart. I want to just mention two areas of the heart that are corrupt with regard to violence. First of all, people are corrupt concerning their value of their fellow man. They don't view their fellow man as made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we're made in the image of God. We're not to kill because they're made in the image of God. Genesis 9, verse 6, we're talking about murder. I'm not talking about capital punishment. I'm not talking about that which is authorized in putting someone to death for a crime, Romans chapter 13, 1 and following. I'm talking about murder, manslaughter. We're not to do that. People are made in the image of God. We are to treat others the way we want to be treated, what we call the golden rule, Matthew 7, verse 12. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves, Matthew 22, 39. We wouldn't be doing these things to others if we had a correct value of mankind. Many have been sold the lie and told the lie that we're just an evolved animal. And more people that are being told that they're evolved animals are going out acting like animals. You tell a person long enough, he'll believe it. The sanctity of human life is no longer sanctified. It's no longer set apart. It's no longer highly valued. We've had abortion in this nation since 1973, as far as legalized through the Supreme Court. We devalue the unborn. We devalue the elderly and what some call euthanasia, which is to die well, but it's far from that. It's not well with God. And then we kill everybody in between. We need to have a correct understanding in our heart of our fellow man around us. And number two, many people are corrupt concerning God and His Word, and we're going to talk about this more at the end of the lesson this morning, but they don't have God in their life. And they refuse to have God in their life. And that's what we read. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about the Gentile world of his day. Romans 1:28, even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. The mind and the heart is not right. And so look at all of the things that are listed beginning in verse 29. Unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, one version says violent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. The New King James mentions violent. But it goes back to verse 28, I don't want to have God in my mind and in my knowledge, and so, well, what kind of a mind do I have now? A reprobate mind, devoid of good. Go back to verse 21, because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. Something's going to be in our heart. If it's not God and His Word, then it's going to be a vain and dark and senseless and reprobate heart and mind. But just like the emotions can be controlled, the heart can be guarded. And we don't have to have a heart that is corrupt that leads to violence. We don't have to have emotions that are out of control that lead to violence. Number three, why are people violent? Well, a lot of times they are violent because they want to exercise power over somebody else. They're more powerful than someone. There was a story just a couple of weeks ago about an elderly lady that was coming out of a Church of Christ Bible study, and she's walking out in the parking lot, and it was caught on the surveillance cameras, and this man pulls up in a truck, and you can tell that he's just casually talking to her, and as older people often are, they're trusting, and she started to move toward the truck a little bit closer, and eventually he reached out the window and grabbed her purse and took off and drug her for a ways, and she was injured in that, and he drove off with her purse. Why did he do that? Well, he knows that he's more powerful than she is. It could be that an individual who knows that he's more powerful than somebody else and takes advantage of them. The man who beats all over his wife, he knows that he's more powerful than the woman. Or the adult who beats all over the small child, they know that they're more powerful. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 14, when the Roman soldiers came to John the Baptist and said, "What must we do to be right with God?" He said, "Do not extort anymore by violence." You think about a Roman soldier. This is a guy who is stout. He's strong. He's been trained in warfare. He has most likely a sword on him on a regular basis. He could easily extort by violence from the weaker person. Or it could be a group. This happens a lot. We call it mob violence. You know, one person out in the street trying to raise a ruckus, that doesn't accomplish a whole lot. But you get a group, and you'll see this on TV with the riots. You get a large group, they feel powerful, and they feel that though they are individuals, they can act as one. In Acts chapter 21, in verse 35, there were a group of Jews in the temple complex that didn't like Paul. And they stirred up a mob. Acts 21:34, and some shouted one thing and some another among the crowd. And when he could not know the certainty for the uproar, he commanded him to be brought into the castle. And when he had come up the stairs, so it was that he was borne or guarded of the soldiers for the violence of the crowd. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him," the violence of the crowd. You get this mob going and you can do a lot of damage to a person or property or other things. And that's what we see when we see this mob violence on TV in riots and so forth. The problem is there's always someone more powerful. And we're thankful to God. I'm thankful to God that he has put into place such entities as law enforcement and civil government who can come in with force. It might be just one Clarksville police officer. It might be several. It might be the National Guard to stop and to put down violent people who believe they are powerful and they can violently oppress the weak. A lot of times you'll see on the news where there are these violent mobs and they're going down the street and they're tearing buildings down. I feel sorry for the property owners, the business owners who have nothing to do with any of that, and their windows are smashed in and their merchandise is stolen and fires are started and cars are burnt. And then what happens when the law enforcement show up, or if it's really out of hand, the governor will bring in the National Guard. What do? They all run and hide. They scatter until they can reform again somewhere else or at some other time. There's always someone more powerful that shows up to put a stop to it. And what's sad is a lot of times you'll see that story and liberal commentators and other individuals will make this point about when there's a riot out in the street and the National Guard shows up and maybe they have to use tear gas or some other method to put down this violence. Somebody will say, "I can't believe that we bring out the military or we bring out the National Guard. This is America. We don't need to be attacking our own citizens. We don't need to be at war with our own citizens." No, friend, these violent aggressors and oppressors, they're powerful. They need someone more powerful than them to stop them. And God gives us that through authorized government means, Romans chapter 13. We need someone more powerful that are acting justly and rightly and righteously to stop the violent person. And so this mob in Acts chapter 21 was put down when the soldiers, the chief captain came with soldiers and commanded him to be bound and guarded him, verse 33, and they rescued him. Otherwise, who knows what the crowd would have done to him. Someone more powerful showed up than the crowd and put a stop to it. There's always someone more powerful, and we need to remember that. And ultimately, God is and will bring the violent person to justice one day. Why are people violent? Well, let's look at another reason. Their minds and lives are fed and taught with violence from others. We live in a land where violence is glamorized. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 31, "Envy thou not the man of violence, and choose none of his ways." Chapter 4 and verse 17, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Our world has changed. There's always been violence, but our world has changed in that it glamorizes violence. And people that feed on that and see that and hear that and imbibe in that on a regular basis, they start doing it themselves. We mimic that which is around us. So violence is fueled today often by music and TV and movies. It's glamorized on those areas, in those areas. Some sports, like this cage fighting. That just amazes me that you can take two men and two women and put them in a cage. You call it a sport. They can beat each other to a pulp. And it's okay. You take those same two people and put them out in the street of Clarksville. If they were doing that, somebody would call 911 and they would be arrested for disorderly conduct. But you put them in a cage, call it a sport, call the two people an athlete, and it's okay. Explain that to me. The internet, video games, friends, drugs, alcohol, the media. These things often glamorize violence, and we wonder why there's so much of it in our nation. And then last of all, and I believe that this really is the fundamental problem, violent people do not set God before their eyes. They do not have God in their lives. And please do not limit violence to school shootings. We can be a violent person and never do a school shooting. There's a lot of violence that has nothing to do with school shootings. People do not have God in their lives. What about the spouse who beats the husband or the wife? Psalm 54, verse 3. For strangers are risen up against me, and violent men have sought after my soul. Listen. They have not set God before them. That's their problem. Prayer is not in their life. The Bible standard of morality, reading their Bible on a regular basis, is not in their life. The worship service of the church is not in their life. Being around faithful and godly Christians is not in their life. All of these things are not a part of their lives. They do not set God before their eyes. And that's their problem. This is the fundamental problem. God is not in their life. Friends, this morning, we need to understand that violence is around us, and it may be closer to home. Let us control our emotions. Number two, let us guard our hearts and thoughts. Number three, let us understand that just because we might be powerful to do such and such does not give us the right to do that. And God ultimately, who is more powerful than all of us, will judge us for that. Let us guard our hearts and our lives so that we're not influenced by the glamorization of violence around us. And let's always have God before our eyes and in our lives. And if we can help you to do that very thing, let us do that. Contact us. Let's have a Bible study. Come visit us. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come be a part of one of our services. Let's set up a Bible study together. Let's learn how to be a peaceful person and not a violent person. The psalmist said in Psalm 120, verse 7, I am for peace. And that's the kind of person we need to be. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that you'll have a good day.